Tosfos writes there's a minhag on Matzah Yom Kippur to begin building one sukkah right away, because you know, we just finished the Yom HaDin, so you want to really chop the first Sheol Kadosh Baruch, that we're serious about our commitments to being a little bit more careful about mitzvahs. So we run to go do the first mitzvah we can in Matzah Yom Kippur, we go in and we start building the sukkah. And the post came right that one doesn't really have to finish it in Matzah Yom Kippur. You know, it's going to take a couple of hours to build a sukkah. The guy's tired, it's late, he finishes Suda, so he's got to go to a Suda for Bris afterwards, so it's a long, long night Matzah Yom Kippur. So the post came saying you can finish it on the day following Yom Kippur, that's also okay. But you should really try to finish up your sukkah as soon as possible. Should be an Indian of the reason, like the mitzvahs. So some of us have fulfilled that, others of us have not quite had other mitzvahs which got in the way, so to speak. So it was tough this year to get everything done the day after Yom Kippur. You only had half a day, it was Friday. So some people are going to put the finishing touches up on their sukkah today. So I thought we'd just speak a little bit about the mitzvah binyan sukkah per se. It means not the mitzvah yeshiva but sukkah, that mitzvah we'll have to talk about, I don't know if over here over sukkahs, but hopefully in shul over sukkahs. But I want to speak a little bit about the mitzvah binyan sukkah. What exactly is the mitzvah? Is there even a mitzvah of actually building one sukkah oneself? On the Matzah Yom Kippur, so I told my son, I told my Yaakov that, you know, it's hard for us, we don't have right now to go run to the Tesuda for a bris afterwards. I said, you know, I don't know whether we're going to be able to fulfill this hidur of building the sukkah now. I said, why don't we learn a Mishnah of Sukkah together? That should be like, this is, you can't bring a korban, so you learn the halachas of a korban, that's like you brought the korban. So I tried to sell that off to him. He was not happy about that. He's broke that. He says, that's not fair, that's not real, that's not the real thing. And okay, good. So we bent to the back, we threw a couple of pieces of schach on top, so at least I'd say the hidda. That's exactly where it's sitting right now. Exactly where I left it. Matzah Yom Kippur would come to Sukkah. Anyway, getting back to the story. So, is there a mitzvah of building a sukkah altogether? So, the Torah doesn't seem to say so. The Torah says, "Sukkah is teish v'shivas yomim." So, the mitzvah is to live in the sukkah. So, yeshiva b'sukkah. So, how did the sukkah get there? Kash Levi said, "We got it. You built it. Somebody else built it. You went to somebody else's sukkah. Whatever. Who cares how the sukkah got built? As long as it's a kosher sukkah." So it doesn't seem from the Chumash there's actually a mitzvah to build the sukkah per se. Nevertheless, if you look at some Rishonim, so Rashi, at least the way some understood Rashi, the Shiltos seem to present that there's actually a mitzvah of asiyas sukkah. There's a mitzvah of binyan sukkah. Where does this mitzvah come from? What kind of a mitzvah is this? So at first glance, this falls into what we call an halacha machshire mitzvah. We know that there very often the Torah gives us a mitzvah. And there are certain preparatory stages that have to be done in order to make sure that you have that chefta shel mitzvah. So the moshe lulav. So the Torah says l'kachta mechem yom rishon. The Torah doesn't tell you how to get that lulav. The Torah doesn't go through the details of what you have to do in order to ensure that you have dal minim. So if you're an esrog farmer and you got your own esrog in the back, or you live in California, you got your esrog trees, so good, so you go to the tree of sukkah, you take off an esrog and enjoy it. So you fulfill the machshira mitzvah, you got yourself an esrog. If you happen not to have an esrog tree in your backyard, so you got to either sign up and get an esrog from the shul, you have to schlep to months, you can go to bar, you got to find an esrog. So it's understood that there are certain mitzvahs that you have to put in some of the time and effort before in order to get the cheftish mitzvah. The Torah doesn't tell you how to do it, the Torah doesn't care how you do it. There's no mitzvah to buy an esrog. There's no mitzvah to grow an esrog. The mitzvah is to take an esrog. So you figure out on your own how you're going to get that esrog. Then you have other kinds of mitzvahs where the Torah puts an emphasis on the machshirei mitzvah. The Torah says that not only is the mitzvah, the gemara mitzvah, not only is the mitzvah the sitting in the sukkah, but the essence of building the sukkah is also considered to be a part of a mitzvah. It's a machshirei mitzvah kosa b'Torah. It's a machshirei mitzvah that the Torah itself addresses, the Torah itself speaks about. Where does the Torah speak about it? About the mitzvah of building a sukkah. So there are two psukim, there are two different parashas that speak about sukkahs. One speaks about pasukas teish v'shivas yomim, there's a psukim from Elanian on sukkahs from Pashas Emor. So those psukim really don't mention the building of a sukkah. They speak about the mitzvah yeshiva b'sukkah. But there's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Chag HaSukkos Tasa L'Choshev Es Yomim, that you have to celebrate the Yom of Sukkos for 7 days. So even though the Pshutos HaMikra sounds like Chag HaSukkos Tasa doesn't mean a physical asiyach. Tasa means to celebrate, to observe. Nevertheless, Chazal, the Tanshim Rapeh, clearly interpreted the phrase Tasa as referring to the asiyas HaSukkah. How do we know this? Because the end of the pasuk says, Be'ospecha Migarnachem Yigvecha, where the Torah describes observing the Yom of Sukkos in the harvest season. So the Gemara is a drasha at the beginning of Masechta Sukkah from the fact that the Torah says, Chag HaSukkos Tasa, Be'ospecha Migarnachem Yigvecha, that teaches us what materials are kosher for schach. You're only allowed to use things for schach, which are the psolas garden v'yekev, things that were left over in the harvest, namely branches, things that grew in the ground, etc., things which are not mekabel tuma. Only those things which are psolas garden v'yekev, megarnachom yikvecha, are kosher for schach. So you see that Chazal understood that this pasuk Chag HaSukkos Tasa is not just talking about observing in theory the mitzvah of sukkahs. It's talking about what you make the sukkah. Chag HaSukkos Tasa, make for yourself a sukkah from the following materials, mipsolas garen v'yakif. So if this is true, then the Torah itself is really, in a sense, alluding, is really addressing the asiyas asukah. Chagasukah's ta'asa l'cha. The Moshel, we also know, the Gemara tells us in sukkah, that if a person's sukkah was built by itself, it's ta'asa v'lomana asli. A person didn't really build the sukkah, but he there was a big pile of hay or something, and then he just carves out the hole for the walls, and the schach comes into position by itself. So that's not acceptable, because that's not called ta'asa l'cha sukkah. That was ta'asa v'lomana asli. The sukkah came about by itself. So you see, also Chazal emphasized the word ta'asa as not referring so much to the observance of the mitzvah of sukkah, but rather to the actual building of the structure of the sukkah itself. So the Netziv suggests that perhaps what the Torah is telling us is that the machshira mitzvah of sukkah is not the same as the machshira mitzvah of other kinds of mitzvahs. It's not like the preparation for lulav or the preparation for shofar, where the Torah really doesn't care at all whether or not you do the physical preparations, since the Torah spells out ta'asa is machshira mitzvah kosa Torah, and therefore the Torah is elevating a machshir mitzvah chasam Torah to the status almost of mitzvah itself, and therefore the Netziv writes there are nafkaminas lahalacha based on that. What's the most important nafkamina lahalacha? So the Netziv says, when it comes to a lulav, I could send somebody else to go pick up a lulav for me. When it comes to a shofar, I could send somebody else to the store to get me a shofar. Torah doesn't care how the shofar gets to me on Rosh Hashanah, as long as I have a shofar to blow with him. Yeah, that's fine. When it comes to sukkah, it's inappropriate, says the Netziv, to delegate this to somebody else. You shouldn't just tell somebody else to build your sukkah for you, because by doing so, you're losing out this mitzvah of Chag HaSukkos Ta'as Elucha. Doesn't mean the sukkah is not kosher. Of course, the sukkah is kosher. You could be able to with somebody else's sukkah also. But in terms of this added dimension of Chag HaSukkos Ta'as Elucha, one loses out if one doesn't do it, or at least one doesn't participate to some degree in the mitzvah. So the Netziv suggests this idea. And there's a new category of halacha that's called machshire mitzvah kosa b'torah, and it's not only true when it comes to sukkah. There are other machshire mitzvah ksuva b'torah as well. The other example that the Netziv draws our attention to is the mitzvah of tzitzis. So when it comes to tzitzis, also the Torah says gedilim tas alecha alayba kachas ksuscha. Although the ikar mitzvah of tzitzis, of course, is b'shas levisha, one just puts tzitzis on a beged and puts the beged in the drawer, so that's not the mitzvah of tzitzis. You didn't perform the mitzvah, but the etzem asiyas tzitzis, the connecting of the strings, the tying of the strings to the beged, is a kiyum of the machshir mitzvah kosa b'torah chagasukos. I'm sorry, gedilim tas alecha. That you fulfill the mitzvah of making tzitzis. There is an inyan to make tzitzis. And the Netziv in the same piece suggests that if a person knows how to, he should try to make his own tzitzis. That again, if he buys tzitzis in the store, he's also yotzei the mitzvah. If he's yotzei the mitzvah of wearing the tzitzis, there's no question about that. The tzitzis are perfectly kosher. But there is an inyan lechetchil if a person is able to make his own tzitzis, to perform this mitzvah of machshir and mitzvah kosa b'torah. Do we have any mokra in the Gemara for this? Is there any mokra in Chazal for this concept that there are certain machshirei mitzvah, there are certain preparatory stages that require us to try to do it on our own, that we're not supposed to delegate to somebody else? So perhaps the source for this is the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin in the beginning of the seventh parak, where the Gemara tells us that when one gets married, we spoke about this last year in the Kiddushin Shira, when a person gets married, so the proper thing to do is that the chassid should come to the chassid himself. He shouldn't delegate a shaliach. It's a proper thing for many reasons. But in terms of pure halachic reasons, remember several years ago, there was a big snowstorm and they had to delay a wedding because the kala was in Philadelphia, the chassid was in New York. They couldn't try to get the National Guard to fly one of the kids. It didn't work. So they had to delay the wedding. So they were talking about different options. So my particular suggestion was outruled for obvious reasons. I suggested maybe just appoint the shaliach, maybe let them have a kedushin as scheduled, and the chassan won't show up. And so they didn't think that was the best idea. Anyway, but the ikur adin, you can be mekadesh and isha yedei shaliach. So the Gemara frowns upon that practice. The Gemara says you're not supposed to do that. So one of the reasons why the Gemara says you're not supposed to do that is because it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah yosu bishlucha. You're supposed to do mitzvahs yourself. You're not supposed to tell other people to do mitzvahs for you. So the Rishonim are bothered with that Gemara. What do you mean it's a mitzvah to get married? Where is it saying the Chumash is a mitzvah to get married? So the Rambam happens to count getting married as a mitzvah. The Rambam holds kiikach ishisha is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Nothing to do with having children. Nothing to do with anything else. According to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah. One of the tayag mitzvahs is a mitzvah kiikach ishisha. Therefore, the Rambam writes a person's getting married. He's 100 years old. She's 95 years old. They're not planning on having any more children. So the Rambam writes that fulfill the mitzvah d'arayis of ki'ika chishish. That's a mitzvah b'frei atzma. So the Rosh of Maseches Ksuba says there is no such mitzvah. The Rosh says the mitzvah is to have children. That's what the Torah says, puruvu. What is marriage all about? Marriage is the hechshir for puruvu. It's the only way appropriately, halachically, that one could have children would be through getting married first. So getting married is a preparatory stage. L'moshel, it's like buying a lulav and esrog. Nobody should quote. Those are the kinds of comments that sometimes get misquoted and out of context. So it's like buying a lulav and esrog. So a person has to get married so that he could have children. But in terms of pure halacha, the marriage itself is not a mitzvah. If that's true, that the marriage itself is not a mitzvah, so why does the Gemara say mitzvah b'yosim b'shlucho? Why does the Gemara say you're not supposed to have somebody else do it on your behalf? According to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, so I understand why you're not allowed to have somebody do it for you, because that's a bitl of your mitzvah. Masha'in kein, if it's not a mitzvah anyway, it's just a machshira mitzvah, so is there anything wrong with having somebody buy an asterisk for me? There's nothing wrong with that. So according to the Netziv, it makes a lot of sense, because even though it's a machshira mitzvah, but it's more than buying an asterisk, it's more than buying a shofar, it's closer to building a sukkah or to making tzitzis, because the Torah does speak about it, kiga chishisha, so it's not a mitzvah according to the Rosh. It does not count it as one of the tag mitzvahs. It's delegated to the lower level of machshira mitzvah, but it's a higher level machshira mitzvah. It's a machshira mitzvah kosav Torah, and a machshira mitzvah kosav Torah, we apply the rule of mitzvah bel yosef b'shlucha. So there seem to be really three different levels as a three-way hierarchy in terms of mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs b'fnei atzma, like the eating of the sukkah, that's the mitzvah. The shaking of the lulav, that's the mitzvah. The wearing of the tzitz, that's the mitzvah. So that's the mitzvah b'fnei atzma. That for sure you have to do yourself. Most of those kinds of mitzvahs you can't even delegate to somebody else. The mitzvah shebagufo. So those kinds of mitzvahs, those are the highest level. Then you have on the lowest rung, you have machshira mitzvah she'enam k'suvim b'Torah, like buying a lulav, like buying a shofar. The Torah couldn't care less how you get your lulav, how you get your shofar, as long as you got it in time for yontif. So those mitzvahs you could do totally ayde somebody else in terms of the preparations. Then you have a middle category, which they're not mitzvahs b'fnei atzma, but they are significant, and proof positive that they're significant is that they're mentioned in the Chumash, and since they're mentioned in the Chumash, therefore a person should try to do his best to do it himself. If he can't, he can't. He's still going to be ayde in the mitzvah of sukkah. If he doesn't build his own sukkah, but he's able to participate a little bit in building the sukkah, that would be the appropriate thing to do. When we speak about building a sukkah, the creation of the Chavta Shemitzvah, building a sukkah, so whenever we talk about creation of Chavta Shemitzvah, we always have to stop and ask ourselves, are there any halachas that govern the creation of the Chavta itself? The most basic halacha being Lishma. Is there a concept of Lishma? Is there a concept of building a sukkah Lishma, Lishay Mitzvah? So we know that there are certain mitzvahs where we do find such a concept. There are certain mitzvahs that explicitly have such a concept, but it's especially those mitzvahs which deal with Kedusha. So let's say, for a pair of tefillin. So the writing of the parashas has to be done Lishma, and the making of the batim and the ritzuos and the tying of the knots and the painting. Everything has to be done Lishay Kedushas tefillin. Well, you have a Sefer Torah. So everything has to be done Lishay Kedushas Sefer Torah. When the mitzvahs which involve Kedusha, for sure there are halachas of Lishma. Even those mitzvahs that don't involve Kedusha, there sometimes is also an element of Lishma. It's an emotional tzitzis. So when it comes to making tzitzis, so the strings themselves, in terms of the tviyas achutim, in terms of the spinning of the wool to make the threads, that we paskin has to be made Lishma. It's a shadow in the Gemara. We paskin that tviyah has to be Lishma. The Gemara derives this from Sukkim. Kedilim tasal l'chol l'shem chovcha. Then there's machlekes, the Rambam and the Rosh. What about the taking of the strings and connecting them to the beged? Does that also have to be Lishma? So the Rambam holds not. The Rambam holds that only the making of the chefetz itself, maybe the making, the forming of the strings has to be Lishma. The connecting of the strings to the beged, there's no halach of Lishma. And the Rosh disagrees on that. The Rosh says, no, even that has to be Lishma. That's what we're knowing. We try to be machlekes for that. When we make tzitzis, so a person's supposed to say Lishma, or any osa l'shem tzitzis, even the connecting of the strings to the beged should be made Lishma. It's obvious, but sometimes even the obvious has to be said, that the making of the begadim doesn't have to be Lishma. The begadim is nothing. The begadim, you take a regular shirt with four corners on it, and you put strings on it, so there's no hid, there's no kiyum, there's no chumah, there's nothing to make begadim Lishma. Why do I say that? Because many years ago at YU, there was a tzitzis sale, and there was a big sign that's advertising, we follow all the chumras, al hidum, you name the chumrah, we have it, and one of the list of the chumras that we follow is that all the begadim were made Lishma. It's a joke, it's a late sonos, that the begadim were made Lishma. The begadim are nothing, there's zero. That's there's no such chumra, no such hidur. Nobody ever heard of such a thing. So I put up the sign, made up a new, added a new chumra to the list. So So the question becomes, not all Chavtzei Shalmitzvahs have to be made Lishma. Let's say a shofar. A shofar has to be made Lishma. There's no such halacha that a shofar has to be made Lishma. Matzah stakamachlek is a Rishonim, but it has to be baked Lishma. So you have to look mitzvah by mitzvah and see whether there is such a halacha that the Chavtzei Shalmitzvah has to be created Lishma. So what's the status of a sukkah? Must the sukkah be built Lishma when you put the schach on? When you build the walls are nothing. The walls are not part of the mitzvah, really. When you put you need walls for other reasons, but in terms of the Shema sukkah, it's Hashem Aschach. So when you place the schach on, it has to be made Lishma. So that's a machlekes atanoi, machlekes li beishamai beisilom. In the Mishnah, Masechus Sukkah Daf Tes, so beishamai says yes. Beishamai says that sukkah is like tzitzis, it's like matzah according to some. It's like it falls into those categories of mitzvahs which have to actually be constructed the shema. If you don't construct the shema, it's possible with the rice according to beishamai. And beisilom says lahoyu dvar meyadam. There is not such halacha that the sukkah does not have to be made lishma. The Mishnah then concedes that even according to beishamai, who says that a sukkah must be made lishma, if you made the sukkah within 30 days of Sukkot, then even Beshami agrees. Even if you forgot to say Lishma, it's still kosher, because it's understood, of course you're doing Lishma. If you build a sukkah in Pesach time, so then you can argue, maybe he's building a sukkah, maybe he's making a nice hut for the patio for the summer. So then the halacha requires that it be done specifically Lishma. But if you're doing it a week before Sukkot, within the month before Sukkot, it's understood, of course you're doing it Lishma. So even Beshami would hold that you don't have to actually formally say so. But we don't pass like Beshami anyway, we pass like Beshilel, that there never was such a halacha, there's no requirement of Lishma, and therefore sukkah that was made, even if it was not made for the purposes of sukkah, even if it was made explicitly not for sukkah, a person made a hut in order to sit in the summertime to keep him relaxed, to make himself shade, as long as he put the schach on for the purpose of shade, that was his intention. He wasn't building a regular house or something, he's putting it on for shade, but as a quote-unquote sukkah, even though it's not a halachic, it wasn't made for a halachic sukkah, you can then turn around a month later and use that as a sukkah. We pass that that is okay. We pass like Pesilo that such a sukkah would be acceptable. Nevertheless, the Yerushalmi tells us that even though we pass like Pesilo, that a sukkah, technically speaking, does not have to be made l'shma. Nevertheless, the Chetchila mid the Rabbanon, there's an idea that at least there should be something done l'shma. It's pasnish. You come into a sukkah, and it's not really a sukkah. It was a hut that was made in the Bronx Zoo 6 months ago that people could sit down and relax in when they're walking in the world of Africa or something. So it's like whenever you go to Bronx Zoo, and the kids are all excited because they always want to know whether that they have all these contraptions with bamboo there, whether they're kosher for sukkah or not. So in theory, they should be kosher because I was made shalom l'shma. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be made l'shma. So the Rishami says it's lo yafeh. It's not nice. You should use such a sukkah. So the Rishami says if you have such a sukkah, what you should do is it should be mechadish badavar. You should put on a little bit of schach, like a token piece of schach, that should be made l'shma. So how much you have to put on? Not so much. So the Rishami says that either you put a tefach by a tefach, very, very small, so a little bit of a little corner you put on, throw a little extra branches on l'shem mitzvah, so that elevates it a little bit, and should be a sukkah l'chadchila shal b'chadchila. Or the Rishami says if you don't put a tefach by tefach, you want to put a little bit of schach across the whole length and the whole width of the sukkah, you can take one big pole of bamboo and throw it across the whole sukkah, as long as it goes across the whole sukkah, even if it's less than a tefach, that's also good enough. So again, I mean, is that good enough to for a person to be yotzei for that? I don't know, maybe. I mean, the mitzvah of building your own sukkah means you have to put in every single piece of schach. It's hard to believe. The stomach is not participating in it. That's also probably good enough. So that's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch, that the sukkah is kosher. The sukkah that was made 6 months ago, shelo l'shem mitzvah, as long as it was made for tzeil, was made for shade purposes, so it's kosher mikra din. L'chadchila, it's appropriate to add. If you didn't add on, the sukkah is still kosher. But l'chadchila mid rabbanon, that's the proper thing to do. So this halach of chiddush davar applies. I think it's okay. I don't think you have to be mechadish davar. I don't remember. I don't think so. So this halacha does come up for us. Most of us don't walk in the street and find a pre-existing sukkah for the last 6 months and have to be mechadish davar. That's not the most common shayla. But we do have the shayla in the following case. The Gemara quotes a braisa and a sefer sukkah that says that sukkah is ganvach as kosher. What does ganvach stand for? So the gimel stands for goyim. So if a goy builds a sukkah, so the sukkah is kosher. Why? Because sukkah doesn't have to be lishma. If a sukkah would have to be made lishma, then generally speaking, a non-Jew can't create lishma. Say a non-Jew can't make tzitzis and he can't make matzahs and he can't write a get for you. We can't do anything that requires lishma. So a non-Jew cannot accomplish. And only a Jew has the ability to create the halachic status of lishma. Why exactly that's true seems to be a machlokes Rishonim. Rashi in Gittin seems to write that the reason why the non-Jew can't create the Shema is because he's not holding in this. He doesn't pay attention to what you're saying. If you can explain to the non-Jew, you have to write this get l'shma, make sure to write l'shma, Lishma. He's not Goris. It's not in his vocabulary, this concept of Lishma. So he's writing the get and not really paying attention to what he's doing. That's the reason why the get is no good if it's written by a non-Jew. That's what the Achronim write, that according to Rashi, maybe it's only Pulsum Yisafek. Because it's not that we're convinced that the non-Jew is not listening to us. It's just that we don't have any reason to believe that he is. So therefore, Yisafek, the get is going to be Pulsum. So the Rambam seems to say a different word. The Rambam seems to say that the reason why a non-Jew can't write a get, he can't write a get l'shma, is because api halacha, only somebody who's in the parsha of that particular mitzvah can api din create the concept of l'shma. L'shma is a halacha, l'shma is a chalois. So if you're not included in the parsha, a non-Jew can't give a get to his wife, he doesn't have kedushin, so he cannot create a chevtz of a get. So again, the technical machalik is Rashi in the Rambam, who's getting what is the problem with the non-Jew when you're dealing with something that requires l'shma. But when it comes to chasukah, it doesn't concern us, doesn't interest us, because we pass like Beis Hillel, that a sukkah doesn't have to be made l'shma. So the whole sukkah doesn't have to be made l'shma, so then the non-Jew should be perfectly acceptable. The only problem is, according to the Yerushalmi, that we pass like in Shulchan Aruch, that even though the sukkah is kosher, but it wasn't really made l'shem mitzvah. So when a non-Jew builds a sukkah, that is the halachic status of a sukkah that was built shelo l'shem mitzvah, which is technically kosher, but l'chadchila b'drabban requires a chiddush davar. So if you have a non-Jew who's building a sukkah for you, that's okay. You should just be careful to be mechadish b'davar. You should put on some schach yourself. You should put on a tefach by tefach. You should put on some poles yourself in order to avoid that issue of the Yerushalmi. So this is a common shayla that comes up very often in shuls and schools, organizations that have these communal kinds of sukkahs. So these big sukkahs are very often they hire the person who takes care of the custodian in the shul. Very often builds the sukkah from scratch. He knows the after Yom Kippur, as soon as the eel is over, he starts already building the sukkah. So is that okay? I mean, the evidence okay. For sure the sukkah is kosher. No one's going to question whether the sukkah is kosher as long as it's built properly. But the fact that it was built by a non-Jew, should that concern us? So there's a big chiddush that Rav Sternbruch has in his sefer Mu'adim Uzmanim, where he suggests that it should be good even l'chadchila. Rav Sternbruch suggests that b'medibar memurim, that a sukkah that's built by a non-Jew is not really good l'chadchila because it wasn't made l'shma and it requires chiddush davar. That's if the non-Jew is a stranger. The non-Jew is not working for you. But if he's your paid employee, so we have a rule in halacha called yad poel ki yad balabayis, that whatever the worker does is considered to be like the person himself is.
Does someone have a Nissan Murano with a license plate UW6070 in the lot next door? Thank you.
So Sternbruch suggests that when the non-Jew is my employee, so Yad Pol Kiyad Balabayis, he's almost like an extension of my hand. That cloud, Yad Pol Kiyad Balabayis, appears in the Gemara in different contexts, not in the context that Sternbruch is quoting it. But one could perhaps argue, even though we have a rule that ain't shlichus la'akom, that a non-Jew cannot be my shaliach whenever the halacha requires shlichus, if he's a paid employee, that may be better than a regular shaliach. So he suggests that maybe that's the issue for the minhag ha'olam, why a lot of shuls have the non-Jewish workers building the sukkah, nobody ever thought of being mechadish badavar, so maybe that's what they're relying on.
If the non-Jew puts the sukkah up for you and is permitted, as per Rav Sternbach, does he have to follow all the rules of the game? For instance, there can be tasev alomina osu.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
It's not that the finished product.
No. He's got it. Yeah, it's got to be. It's bound by all the other halachas of sukkah. It's got to have the same halachic walls, the same halachic schach, and the same tasev. Everything's got to be the same.
Tasev alomina osu.
Everything's got to be the same. Yeah, for sure.
Can you say there's a difference between a sukkah that's built like for the shul as opposed to my sukkah in my backyard?
No, but
he's building it.
Well, according to Sternbruch, it's not a question of who he's building for. The question is whether he's paid or not. That's the bottom line. If he's just doing me a favor and building me a sukkah, he's my quote-unquote shaliach, so that's a problem. It's not a problem, but yeah, but the sukkah is still kosher, but it loses out this element of the Jew making the sukkah. But if he's yad pok, yad balabai, so some of that's good even l'chadchila.
What about women and children?
Oh, we're going to get to the women in a second. So the emphasis of Sternbruch didn't make a... No, a person himself, you're not mechuyev to go running around to every guest. Every time you're going to be a guest at every meal for sukkahs, go put this ben in sukkah.
No, that
means every Jew who has the ability, has a physical ability, should try to build a sukkah on sukkahs to fulfill this mitzvah of chag sukkahs ta'asa l'cha. A binyan sukkah, but you're not mechuyev to drive yourself to run around the whole world building sukkahs.
Well,
a sukkah in general, or a sukkah you're going to eat?
You mean if I go ahead and I build somebody else's sukkah? It means I'm not going to eat in this sukkah. I'm going to build it's like I'm making somebody else's tzitzis. So is that a lichat chila of this mitzvah? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Rav Shtemrich didn't totally invent this idea that if you have a non-Jew doing something for you, if he's paid by you, that's better than a regular shaliach. The poskim already hundreds of years ago spoke about this as a machan Ephraim that talks about this the following shaila, as a common shaila. We mentioned last night in the Shiur Tim Chavai about building of a makke. People have to be aware. A lot of people have these shailas and makkas. I've seen certain places where really a person does require a makke. You have any of these drops over garages, or driveways, all kind of punsim over railings and bats. You really have to have a makke that's built properly. It has to be a 10 tvachim tall. So the poskim discuss when you build a makkah, it's a mitzvah the Torah, but it's a makkah l'gagecha. So what right do you have to have a non-Jew do that mitzvah for you? If you have a Jewish contract who's knocking in the nails, he's building the makkah for you, he's your shaliach, so shluch shalom kamoso. Maybe l'chatchili should do it yourself, mitzvah l'yosu mishlucha, but mikra din yotzei mitzvah. But if you delegate it to a non-Jewish worker, so then when he's building the makkah, you're not getting the mitzvah, so because he's not your shaliach, how could he possibly build a makkah on your behalf? So some question whether that question is even a question in the first place. Maybe the nature of the building of makkah, it's not like sitting in the sukkah. It's not like a religious obligation. I mean, it's religious because it says in the Torah, the point of a makkah is that nobody should fall. So if the bottom line is, you make sure that a makkah was built, I don't care whether it came down in a shemayim. If there's a makkah there, it's there. Let's say you move into a house and there's already a makkah there. So a guy has a new chumrah. He's going to knock down the makkah so he can build it again to fulfill the mitzvah. It's a joke. That's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is that the house should be safe. So however got there. So there are some who say that I don't care whether the Jew or whoever does the best job. So if the non-Jew is better building than you want, let him build the makkah. That's what some say. So the Machane Ephraim suggests that maybe he could argue, even if there's a mitzvah mamish to build the makkah, if the non-Jew is being paid, he's not building it for free, so he's being paid to build me the makkah, so then that's a yad polk, yad balabayah, so he's like an extension of me, even though there's no shlichus for a non-Jew, maybe that would be good enough. So there's a question, hokas makkah, that folks can tumble about is it appropriate that the Jew should be there when the non-Jew builds the makkah? Let the Jew knock in the first couple of nails, let him bang in something, let him at least participate to some degree in the SES makkah. So remember, when we built that house, I was tumbling about I wanted to be there, so I forgot what happened. I couldn't make it. I forgot already the details. In the end of the day, I wasn't there when they built the rally, but they built it to the right dimensions, as we spoke about last night. But at least one of them was built to the right dimensions. The other one was machlokes, whatever it was. The bottom line is that this idea that sometimes you can have a non-Jew acting on your behalf if he's paid employee, so this already has its roots earlier than in Hilchos Sukkos. This is Rav Shtemrich's suggestion. I think lemaisa most places rely on this. I don't know, in the shuls. When the shuls build sukkahs, but the non-Jews build the sukkahs, anyone ever see people be mechadish b'davar?
On the east side, Rosh Yeshiva is always just coming out for the mitzvah.
Really, really, So because of this, okay, I don't know.
There's a bracha on building a makkah?
There's a bracha on building a makkah, yeah. It's going to be hard for the non-Jew to make that bracha, right? The Gemara says that not only can a non-Jew build a sukkah, but other people who sometimes would be disqualified from creating certain cheftish or mitzvahs, presumably should be okay maker then also. So one of the examples that the Mishnah, that the Gemara quotes a Bryce, is that a woman can build a sukkah. Sukkah is ganvach, so the nun stands for noshim. So mustama, a woman would be able to build a sukkah as well. There is a Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that there is a cloud that appears in Maseches Gittin about the writing of tefillin, Sefer Torah tefillin mezuzos. The Gemara says that a woman is not a kosher to write a Sefer Torah tefillin mezuzos. Why is that? So the Gemara says, "Ukshartem uchsaftem." Whoever who is chayiv in the midst of kshiras at tefillin is chayiv in the ksiva, has the ability to create the ksivas of the parashas. So even though the word of saftem is referring to mezuzah, but the Tosha Vapeh says it's referring to Sefer Torah and to tefillin as well. So kshiru ksiva, kol mishi yeshna b'kshira yeshna b'ksiva, kol mishi eina b'kshira eina b'ksiva. Someone who doesn't, is not obligated in tefillin, or for that matter, someone who doesn't wear tefillin. Let's say you have a Jew, a male Jew, he's not from, he doesn't wear tefillin, so he's possible to be a sofer. He's possible in the raisa to be a sofer. He doesn't perform the mitzvah. So only somebody who believes in tefillin and practices tefillin and is obligated in tefillin is kosher to be a sofer. Ukshartem uchsaftem. There is a tremendous chumrah, I think we probably mentioned this once in the mezuzah shiurim, that some achronim write that a woman shouldn't nail up mezuzahs in the house. She shouldn't be the one who's putting the mezuzah on the doorpost, because connecting the mezuzah to the doorpost, that's like the ksivas of mezuzah. So since a woman is psula to write a mezuzah, so she's psula to nail it in also. So many achronim write that lohayot varmiel, and that's not at all what the Gemara says. The Gemara says she can't write the parsha, doesn't say she can't connect the parsha to the doorpost. That's already a shaila. But in terms of I had the shaila, must have mentioned the mezuzah, but the non-Jews in camp that a couple of summers ago when I was at Marashah, so the room that I was in, so after many years finally they decided to build a door not to the front, had a door for many years, but one of the rooms in between the rooms, so finally got a door. So the Rambam Shita is that when a room doesn't have a door without a door is not chayiv in mezuzah. So the poskim write that even though Amdinig is to put a mezuzah there according to the other Rishonim, if you put it in the door you should take the mezuzah off and then put it back on again. It shouldn't be tasav lomad also, because according to the Rambam the mezuzah was put up before it was technically. So when I came there, I saw the non-Jews were coming to build me the door finally, so I was going to go take off the mezuzah. And then I came, so I realized that they had already taken off the mezuzah because they didn't, not because they were choshish for the Rambam Shita. They took off the mezuzah because it was in the way, they couldn't nail it in. So good, so I left, I went back to Mishmash, then I figured they're probably finished. I went back to the room to go nail the mezuzah back on. So I came, lo and behold, the mezuzah was back on again because they put it back on. So I thought, it was, oh my goodness. I said, they obviously held like those acharonim who hold that a goy could also put a mezuzah. A woman can put a mezuzah, a goy can put a mezuzah. So I took the mezuzah down the second time. So I nailed it back on myself. So according to everybody, the mezuzah should be no, without a bracha. That much guts I didn't have. Anyway, getting back to this story. So, Pasha says that a woman can't do any of these things which are involved, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, etc. But that halacha has nothing to do with anything else. That's a special din by Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah. So, Rabbi Atam is a big chiddush. Rabbi Atam says, therefore, just as a woman can't write Pashas for Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, so a woman can't make tzitzis either. Rabbi Natan says that it's a halacha by all chefetz shel mitzvahs. Any chefetz shel mitzvah, so a woman doesn't is mufker from the parasha of creating this chefetz shel mitzvah. So the Tosfos writes in Rabbi Natan, how can he say such a thing? The Gemara says that a woman can build a sukkah. So if a woman can build a sukkah, so you see that this has nothing to do with parashas and tefillin. Tefillin is a special halacha. Mezuzah is a special halacha. Sefer Torah is a special halacha. It doesn't extend to other chefetz shel mitzvahs. It's not difficult, Rabbi Natan. Now what's the difference? If we know for a fact a woman can build a sukkah, so why should there be a difference between a woman building a sukkah and a woman making tzitzis? So it's not a good kasha on Rabbi Natan. And learn uchas tzitzis. So you have to try to figure out what the answer to this question is. But I'll call upon him in terms of a sukkah. The Gemara seems to say befavorish that it's okay. The pashtus is that it should be okay. They're cut, and also the pashup shot is what could be wrong? Why should a cut be any less than a non-Jew? So there are some achronim who start to have pipukim about a katan. They say that, well, the halacha is that the schach has to be l'shem tzel, even though it doesn't have to be l'shem mitzvah, but it has to be l'shem tzel. It has to be for the purpose of shame. So a katan is ein l'machshav. He has nothing. He's a nothing. Anything that he does, api halacha is in chal altogether. So the non-Jew, so he's doing it l'shem tzel. I say to him, make me a nice hut. So he puts it on for the hut. The woman, I say, make me a hut. She puts it on for the hut. When the katan, he thinks he's playing a game. He thinks he's playing with bamboo. He's banging his brother with the bamboo. He throws it up and bangs it on top. So that's not even l'shem tzel. So that's some heard him a fuck thing. Maybe the katan shouldn't put the schach up. Okay, whatever. Maybe probably not such a good idea anyway for safety reasons. But so in my house, the boys know that I'm the one on the chair. They hand me the schach. So they hand me pole by pole, and I put it up. But for a combination of halachic reasons and safety reasons also. But in terms of pure halach, it's a question whether that would be consideration or not. Because the building of a sukkah is an important stage in the mitzvah, according to some, it's mamash heksha mitzvah kosa b'torah, this probably explains why we find that there's a brach of Shechionu that's technically recited b'shas binyan ha-sukkah. So probably some people think, wait a second, we don't remember doing that. We built many sukkahs, we never said Shechionu. So the Gemara says that Mikra didn't even say Shechionu when you're building the sukkah. But so Yom Kippur, you stop building the sukkah, you can recite Shechionu. So we don't do that. Our practice is that we reserve the Shechionu for the first night of sukkahs. When we make the Shechionu on the first night of sukkahs, so that Shechionu is going on the whole mitzvah of sukkah. We didn't need the Gemara, if a person wanted to make a Shechionu just when he builds a sukkah, not make it when he sits in the sukkah the first time, that would be okay. But we don't do that. We put the whole Shechionu off till later. When we say Shechionu on the first night of sukkah, so it's really a double, or in a sense even a triple Shechionu. It's a Shechionu on the Kedushas Hayom, as we mentioned in the when we talk about this Shechionu on, we just spoke about this Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, I forgot already. Rosh Hashanah morning. One day we spoke about the Yom Kippur morning, about the Shechianu on Yom Kippur and the Shechianu Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. That whenever you have the drushes are starting to merge into one big cholent. So the Gemara says in Maseches Erevin that whenever you have a Kedushas Hayom, so Kedushas Hayom is always Ton Shechianu. So even Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which are not quite regalim in the classic sense of the word, even there the Gemara raises the question whether Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur require Shechianu. And the Gemara concludes that yes, that's what we say. When we say Shechianu and Yom Kippur night, we're saying it, there's no mitzvah we're saying it on. We're saying it on the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur. So when you have the Yontav of Sukkis, so the Kedushas Hayom, the fact that it's a regular Moed Abom Yisman Luzman, so that warrants a Shechianu. So even if there would be no mitzvah, even if it's pouring rain and you don't have to sit in the river, sit in the river, whatever it is, just the fact that the Yontav of Sukkis has arrived, that in and of itself requires a Shechianu. No different than Shavuos. Shavuos also doesn't have any Maisa mitzvah. Shemini Atzeres also doesn't have any Maisa mitzvah. It's a regel. So Shemini Atzeres is a regel b'fnei atzmo for the purposes of Zman. So you're required to say Shechianu on the very Yom itself, on the regular itself. In addition to the Shechianu that you're reciting on the regel, you're also reciting Shechianu in the mitzvah of Sukkah, because it's the first time that you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Sukkah. Whenever you have any mitzvah that's Bami's man, Lizman, when you have a mitzvah that comes once a year, so even though the mitzvah doesn't relate to Kedushas Hayom, it also warrants Shechianu. Say Chanukah, there's no Kedushas Hayom in Chanukah. Purim, there's no Kedushas Hayom in Purim. But Af Al Pi Chein, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah, warrant the recitation of a Shechianu. The Rambam writes that whenever you have a mitzvah, even if it doesn't come once a year, it becomes very, very rare. It's not a daily occurrence. So that also warrants a Shechianu. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. That's what the Rambam writes. That's why the Rambam's opinion is that you have to say Shechianu at a bris. That's the minhag in Eretz Yisrael, and the Sfaradim and the Qur'an, that they say Shechianu at a bris. The reason being, that's called like a mitzvah bo mizman lizman. You can't have a baby. I mean, in theory, you can have a bris once every 9 months. I mean, in theory, but it's usually, even that's not going to happen. So I don't mean somebody else's bris, it means your own bris. So that's like a bo mizman lizman. So it'd probably be a few more than 9 months. But that's like a rare occurring mitzvah, and that also warrants Shechianu. So we happen not to follow that sheet, the Sarambam. But it could be the reason why we don't say Shechianu at a bris is for a totally different reason. Because Mishum Tzar, the Anuka, the Gemara says that in Ksubis, that we don't say Shasimcha Bim Ono at a bris when we bench, because you're very happy, but the baby's not so happy. So in sensitivity to the baby, we don't mention the fact that we're with such great Simcha at a bris. So some Rishonim write, that's why we don't say Shechianu at a bris either. It's really, the Rambam's right. We really should say Shechianu at a bris, but we don't, Mishum Tzar Dianu, because that's the Ashkenazi custom, the standard Ashkenazi custom, and the Sfaradim don't do that, and the Gerah didn't hold that way. So in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag has become to say Shechianu at a bris, but in Chutz Laaretz, so Ashkenazi communities generally don't recite Shechianu at a bris. But anyway, getting back to the story, so when it comes to the first night of Sukkis, so you have two obligations of Shechianu that are now colliding together. On the one hand, there's a Shechianu Mishum Sukkah, because it's the first time you're performing the mitzvah of Sukkah. And number two, it's a Shechianu on the Kedushas Hayom, because the new Yantav of Sukkah, Tesvav Tishrei, has just arrived. So you can knock off two Shechianus with one bracha. So when you say Shechianu on the first night of Sukkah, you really should have in mind, it's a dual Shechianu. I'm being Yaitzeh the Shechianu on the Sukkah, which itself is somewhat of a dual. It's Yeshiva and the Binyan of Sukkah all rolled into one. And it's a Shechianu on the Kedushas Hayom. That's why a minig is in the first night of Sukkot that we put the Shechianu all the way at the end. Because when we make Kiddush, so first you say the Kiddush Hayom, the Kaddish Yisrael Vazmanim, then you say Leishir B'Sukkah, and then the grand finale is Shechianu, because Shechianu is being chal on both of those aspects. And this is the source why there are some who have a custom on the second night of Sukkot to reverse the order. It gets everybody confused, and then the Machzor says flip the order on the second night. Where did that game come from flipping the order? So it came from the following, that some Echrenim Ma'orer, that when it comes to second night, so what's the Shechianu going on exactly? So on the Yom Tov, it is going on, because we always recite Shechianu on Yom Tov Sheni, because we always make believe, whenever we play out Yom Tov Sheni, it's Ki'ilu Yom Tov Rishon didn't exist. Because otherwise, if we're not going to say Shechianu on the second night of Pesach, on the second night of Shavuos, or the night of Sukkot Torah, so people are going to start to catch on, they're going to think, hey, wait a second, why aren't you saying Shechianu? It must be it's not really Yom Tov, because Yom Tov was yesterday, and that's going to lead a zilzel. People are going to take Yom Tov Sheni lightly. So therefore, Chazal were instituted, Daf going to make a bracha, even though we know in the heart of hearts that Midaraisa yesterday was Yontif. It doesn't know that Midarabbanan Kachtik Nichachavim Mishum Zilzul Yontif Sheni to recite a Shechianu on the second night. So we're definitely going to recite a Shechianu on the second night of Sukkot. There's no question about that. But is that Shechianu going to be Chal on the Sukkah, on the mitzvah of Sukkah? So the post came right now, because you could have said that Shechianu on Sukkah last week when you built the Sukkah. So even if we're going to play it out like the first night of Sukkot was a Yom Chol, it was all just spring training, it didn't really count the first night of Sukkot, it's no worse than the building building of the sukkah. So if you would have made the shechiyano last week when you built the sukkah, you would not have been required to make a shechiyano on the yeshiva of the sukkah, because the binyan of sukkah is also a zman of shechiyano. So last night wasn't exactly binyan, wasn't exactly yeshiva, but it was right smack in the middle. So that would technically be okay. So it turns out on the second night of Yom Tov, when you're saying shechiyano, it's only a single kiyum of shechiyano. It's not a shechiyano on the sukkah anymore. The sukkah is already done. That you made last night shechiyano. It's only a sukkah. It's only a shechiyano on the kedushas hayom. Therefore, it makes sense to recite the shechiyano immediately after the kedushas hayom. So you conclude the kiddush mekadesh asov yazmanim. Then you say shechiyano, and then you say leishiv sukkah, because the shechiyano is not relating to the sukkah anymore. That shechiyano is long gone. That was last night shechiyano. So that's the source for that custom of flipping the shechiyanos. The others who don't.
Why do we always assume that the shechiyano coming afterwards is what it's challah, not what it's coming before?
Because shechiyano, usually the rule is shechiyano omra filu basof. The Gemara says that since shechiyano is omra filu b'shuk, you could really say shechiyano out of the context of anything. You could just say shechiyano in the middle of nowhere. So shechiyano is always at the end, like yachnahaz. Means in the order, you see when Chazal instituted Yaknahaz, that order of Yain Kiddush Ner Havdolan Zman. So there's one day in the Gemara that says that you say Shechiyanu Yak Zina. There's one day in Abaye says you say Yain Kiddush and then you say Shechiyanu, because that makes sense, because Shechiyanu is relating to the Kiddush, it's not really relating to the Havdalah. And Rava says no, Yaknahaz, because Zman Omer Filu B'Shuk. Zman always gets pushed off to the last. Whenever there's nowhere else to put it, so then the Zman always goes towards the end. So over here, some Acharonim said that it doesn't make any sense to put Shechiyanu all the way at the end, because the Leishah B'Sukkah has nothing to do with Kiddush either. The Leishah B'Sukkah is totally separate. You can make Leishah B'Sukkah for a multi also technically. So the Zman only belongs, it only has a Shaychas at that point. So other Acharonim say, L'hoyu Dvar Meyam, other Acharonim say that the second night of Sukkah, your Shechiyanu is also big chal on the mitzvah of sukkah. Aye, but you said it last night. But last night was a yom chol, in theory. Aye, but it's no worse than the building of the sukkah. So some achareim say, no. When you build the sukkah, you can say Shechiyanu. When you sit in the sukkah, you can make Shechiyanu. You can't just get up on Yud Gimel Tishrei and recite Shechiyanu. Imagine, I built my sukkah Matzah Yom Kippur. I'm going to sit in my sukkah tomorrow night. This morning, I'm going to say Shechiyanu. So some achareim say, what's the Shechiyanu? There's no shakas anything. Binyan has sukkah, at least as a mitzvah, at least as a something. It's a hechshav mitzvah chos v'tar, so it's a nitfas to Shechiyanu. You say Shechiyanu in the middle of nowhere, so the Shechiyanu was in chal. So if the first night was not really Yom Tov, so it was the middle of nowhere. I was standing in the sukkah. Imagine if I were going to my sukkah this morning, I'd eat breakfast in my sukkah today, and you'd base Tishrei and make Shechiyanu. So that's a brach levatola. But I'm making it on the binyan of sukkah, but you didn't build me a sukkah today. Either b'shas binyan or b'shas mitzvah, not somewhere in the middle. So according to those acharonim, the first night Shechiyanu, you weren't yotze yet on the sukkah, so then you have to recite the second night Shechiyanu in the same place as you did the first night. So therefore it would be appropriate to recite the leishiv sukkah first, and then the Shechiyanu at the end as well. So that's the source of the two different minhagim. So now a pasha, a different minhagim about this. So there's a lumdus, it's a mamash a lumdus shayla. The lumdus shayla boils down to, is it shaykh to make Shechiyanu not b'shas binyan and not b'shas asiyah? So some achareim say, yeah, as long as the sukkah's up. You built the sukkah already, you can make Shechiyanu. Others say, no. Shechiyanu either b'shas asiyah or b'shas yeshiva, because those are the only two moments when you're involved halachically in the mitzvah of sukkah. You make a Shechiyanu in the middle of nowhere, so that's mamash devarim b'teilim, and you would have to repeat the Shechiyanu. So kopanim, the concept of binyan asukkah is important. The Torah may very much address it. There are halachas about doing it properly yourself, and whole questions about having non-Jews do feel, and even though we pass and doesn't really need the Shema, L'chadchila does need the Shema, and the significance of Binyan HaSukkah plays out in terms of the Brach of Shechiyanu as well. What, you want it?
Oh,
so yeah, go.